All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. I want to give you three verses by way of introduction to this message. I want to talk about stewardship again today, but today, not about money or finances at all, but about you and your Bible. You and your Bible, the stewardship of God's Word has failed at times in history, and I want to give you three portions of Scripture where people failed to be good stewards of the Word of God. And the first one is in Isaiah 59 and verse 14. Isaiah 59 and verse 14, or you can just think about these or write them down or something. The Bible says this, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Truth is the Word of God, the Bible. It had fallen in the street. That's not where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in our hearts. But it had fallen in the street, the picture being like anything else that's fallen in the street, you just kind of sweep it up and throw it out. And this was a bad day Isaiah was talking about here almost 700 years before Christ. Judgment is turned away backward. Does that sound familiar? Does anything seem backward to you today? Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. It just seems like there's injustice today. Why? Because truth was falling into the street. They didn't know the truth. And as a result, equity cannot enter. Now turn to the book of Hosea. That's a couple more books towards the back. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." Studies have found that the average American can only quote 3 out of the 10 commandments, if you ask them. How many of the 10 commandments do you know? They can tell you 3 of them. We have forgotten the law of God, and we live in a country of forgotten children. And it's not God's fault. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for a lack of knowing the Bible, for biblical illiteracy." And this is what happens. He says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge." America has rejected knowledge. Our country wasn't necessarily our fault, but the Supreme Court decided almost 60 years ago, no more Bible in the schools, no more prayer in the schools. In the 1980s, they said no more 10 commandments in the schools. And then in the 1990s, they said no more moments of silence. The kids might think about God during that moment of the silence, and we can't have that. And we live in a day of forgotten children. Because God keeps His Word, the good promises and the bad ones. Look at the book of Amos. That's a little bit more towards the back. The book of Amos, chapter number 8 and verse 11. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Churches are closing up all across this country. And the ones that are staying open, there's some of them, you can't find the word of the Lord being preached there. There's a lot of self-help messages maybe, and maybe a lot of politics and something, but very little Bible. Very little Bible. And the Scripture says it's possible for a country to come to a point where there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of good old-fashioned Bible preaching and teaching. which I want to turn our attention to us, just because the Bible says these things prophetically doesn't mean we have to be a part of that prophecy being fulfilled. And I hope that you will spend the rest of your life wearing out Bibles. I really do. It's time that we all pitch in to stamp out biblical illiteracy by knowing what the Bible says ourselves personally. And I really believe that's the main problem with our country and with our children. It's not the Republicans, it's not the Democrats, it's not the progressives or the liberals or the Supreme Court. It's not the media, it's not Hollywood. It's that the American people have closed their Bibles and put them away somewhere and are not reading them and studying them and meditating on them and doing what it says. This thing can be solved on an individual basis if we will become knowledgeable again regarding the Scriptures. Abraham Lincoln said it is absolutely impossible to enslave a Bible-reading people. He said it's an impossibility. But you'll notice how we're becoming enslaved to the government. The government's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And putting mandates and dictates on us that are unconstitutional, and a lot of people are just getting in line. And it's because of an ignorance of the Scriptures. You know why they call the Dark Ages the Dark Ages? Because there was no knowledge of the Bible during those times. And illumination and enlightenment came when reformers and Bible translators said, hey, we've got to get the Bible back into the hands of the common people. And giving their lives sometimes at the stake to be burned to death, they translated the Scriptures into our languages, and they paid a great price to print them and to distribute them. And there was a time when Bibles were chained to the pulpit because ungodly clergymen said, we're the only ones that can know what the Bible really means. You just listen to us. But the Apostle Paul told his young convert Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Children can understand the Scriptures. And everybody else, of all ages, clergy or not, you can understand the Bible. And it can be a wonderful time in your life. So I want to encourage you for a few minutes here this morning to think about the stewardship of God's Word. The Bible is the Word of God. Over 2,000 times directly it claims to be the Word of God. Another 2,000 times it is implied that God is speaking. That's 4,000 times this book refers to itself as the Word of God. Now it either is or it lied to us 4,000 times. And if that be the truth, then this is the worst book on earth. But if it's telling us the truth 4,000 times that it's the Word of God, then everyone ought to say, hey, there's something different about that book than all other books on earth. And if there's one book I should want to know, it should be that book. We were talking about George Mueller and his tremendous prayer life Wednesday night. Now, he and his wife wrote a journal, and every time they asked God for something in prayer, they wrote it down. They never asked anybody else. They just asked God in prayer. By the end of their life, when they found his journal, there was 20,000 requests written in that journal of prayers they made to God, and then next to it, when God answered the prayer. Why? Because he was a man of faith. He's called history's man of faith by some. But you know, when he was 24 years old, he made a decision. And that decision was this, was to clear his bookshelf of all other books. And he would only read one book for the rest of his life, the Word of God. And that man moved mountains by prayer, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We live in a day when some believers know more about football statistics than they know about the Word of God. What is wrong with us? I want to give you a few things here. Maybe write these down. These are pretty simple things, but on how you can be a good steward of God's Word in your life. No matter who you, even if you start today, everybody needs to have a starting day. I needed to have a starting day, and I'm no expert on the Word of God, but it's been a wonderful time in my life since I began reading it and meditating on it and memorizing it and learning about it. Everybody needs to have a starting day, so don't feel bad. Maybe today is your starting day for the Word of God. Number one, get a Bible. Number one, get a Bible. There's a lot of people that just don't own a Bible. You've got to have a Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And we have Bibles over here. And you can get a Bible over here. If you can't pay for it, we will give you a Bible. And I want to encourage you to get yourself a Bible. I mean a physical Bible. I know they've got them on apps now and phones and everything, but you need a physical copy of the Word of God, as you'll see as we go along. Number two, get a King James Bible. Get a King James Bible. Not a new King James Bible, a King James Bible. That the translation work was finished in 1611, as they compared all the other versions that came from the right texts. And in the Old Testament, it was what's called the Masoretic text of the Hebrew, and they translated it into English for us. The New Testament was called the Received text, the Textus Receptus, the majority text of the Greek. And they translated that into the New Testament for us into English. I want to encourage you, because of all the hundreds and hundreds of English Bibles that are out there, the King James Bible is the only one that can make that claim, that it came solely from the Masoretic Hebrew text of the Old Testament and the Received text of the New Testament. All other Bibles, including the New King James Version, add to it the critical texts, which were based on manuscripts that were corrupted and were written by some of the most ungodly, filthy, vile men that have ever walked the earth, who wanted to change what the Word of God said. All the other English versions contain corruptions. To get a copyright, and they're all copyrighted, because there's a lot of money in selling Bibles. It's the best seller ever. There have been between 5 and 6 billion. Dr. David Sorensen, when he was here back in May, said 6 billion copies of the King James, not million, 6 billion copies of the King James Version have been printed. There has never been a book in all of human history on any subject that even comes close to the printing of the King James Bible. Nothing comes close to it. I believe God is in that. In fact, way back in the Psalms, prophetically, David said this: the Lord gave the word, great was the company of them that published it. In Psalm 68 and verse 11. That was before they knew how to publish. David said that as a prophecy. God wants his people to have the Word of God, and we who speak English are blessed to have the King James Bible. But there's also all these other perversions, over 200 of them. Now, in order to get a copyright, you have got to make 40,000 changes to the text. If I wanted to write a Bible and print it and publish it, I would have to make 40,000 changes to the text to get a copyright. There's over 200 English versions out there. Most of them have fizzled up, dried up and blown away like they should. But there's still a few out there. 40,000. Now, if you ever read God's Word, he says this: don't you dare change one word. Don't you add one word, and don't you subtract one word from my book. And he said that in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. And I believe one of the curses on America that we don't even know is a curse is how offended God is because of what Americans have done to the Bible. Now, I write little booklets, very little booklets. They're out here. They're nothing compared to the Bible. But if you took one of my booklets and you made changes to the text and you kept my name on it, that would offend me. That would offend me. I would say, hey, you have no right to change what I wrote. If we changed one word of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence, that would offend Americans. It would offend us. We would say, leave those documents alone. They are sacred to our country. Leave them alone. And yet we dare to treat the Holy Word of God in the way Americans have. Prince, for one reason, for money. Well, brethren, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith. And some of these people are believers in Christ. And I would not want to be in their shoes on the judgment day. I'm going to leave the Bible as it is and preach it as it is. But I want to encourage you, get the King James Bible. It is English at its best. English was never as good as it was in 1611. This was the same era as Shakespeare. It was English at its best. English has deteriorated ever since. If you want to read the best English that's ever been on earth, read the King James Bible. People have learned to read. I mean, children have been brought up on the King James Bible. Don't tell me it can't be understood. Children can understand it. Number three, get a red letter edition of the Bible. Here's how you can be a good steward. Get a Bible, get a King James Bible, get a red letter edition. That means that when you get to the New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ are in red. They're in red, and you can start there and you'll know when he's speaking. Now, the Bible is about 75% Old Testament and then about 25% of the New Testament. Now, the New Testament is the day and age in which we are living, and it's talking about the New Testament of his blood. It means that since Christ came and shed his blood on the cross, we've been under a New Testament or a new covenant with God than the Old Testament. Although we can learn so much from the Old Testament, that is the Word of God also. But if you are a starter, if you are a beginner, if you just got saved, or if today is going to be the first time you ever own a Bible, go back to those books in the New Testament. Now, the books are these: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four are called the Gospels. There are 66 books in this Bible. In fact, the word Bible there means library. Those of you that know Spanish know biblioteca means the library. If I'm going to the biblioteca, I'm going to the library. Bible means, it means library. I have 66 books in my hand right now. 39 are in the Old Testament, 27 are in the New Testament, and the first four of the New Testament are called the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are quite amazing to study, actually, because they give us four different pictures of Christ the Lord, our Savior. In Matthew, we have him pictured as Christ the King. And thus we have a genealogy in Matthew showing his pedigree. Mark, he is Christ the servant. There's no genealogy. Who cares what the genealogy or pedigree of a servant is? The book of Luke, he's pictured as Christ the man. The Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man 85 times, and we're glad he did. What does that mean? He came and became human. He became like us. He lived and went through everything you and I have gone through. And so he can understand everything that we are facing in our lives. Every trial, every temptation he has faced, and yet without sin. And he's gone through hardships. He's gone through hunger. He's gone through physical suffering and beatings. And, of course, eventually would die upon a cross for our sins. And so he has now ascended to the heavens, and he sits on the right hand of the Father as the Son of Man. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And he sits there and he turns to the Father and he's able to say to the Father, I was a human. I know what they're going through. I can understand. I can fellowship with their sufferings. And he can turn to the Father and make intercession for us and pray for us. He can help you. He can help me as humans. He understands our frame, that we are but dust. He knows that we're just flesh. And he knows that the flesh is weak. And he's there to help us and make intercession for us. It says he ever liveth to make intercession. What's Jesus doing right now? He's praying for you. He's asking the Father to help you. In the Gospel of John, he's Christ the Lord, the Son of God. The deity of Christ is stressed in the Gospel of John. And so as you start reading there, that's where you start. If you're new to the Bible, and if you want to be a good steward of the Bible in your life, start with the Gospels. All right? There's temptations to fly over to Revelation and get all intrigued by prophecy. No, you'll get confused is what you'll get. Start with Jesus Christ, your Savior. Learn what He said. Learn what He did. Learn how He acted and reacted and responded to different events in His life. And pray God will help you and I to be like it. You get to the book of John and you're going to find He makes 198 claims no one else ever made. And these books contain the miracles of Christ, 35 specific miracles that have no explanation except they're supernatural and divine. You will also read about the prophecies of Christ, where Christ tells history long before it ever happens. And some of those prophecies He said almost 2,000 years ago are coming to pass today. It's like reading today's newspaper. And you can trust His word because He tells us what's going to happen on earth. And if He's got the whole world in His hands, He can help you with your little life. And He can help me with my little life, too. And anything that we're going through. And these are the books that tell us about the greatest miracle ever, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's about 8 billion people on earth right now. Every one of us is going to die and stay dead. We just buried our dear sister, Sharon Rice, Friday. You go back Monday, she'll still be there. But when they went back 3 days and three nights later to see the grave of Jesus Christ, the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled back. The angel said, come on in, take a look. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen just as he said. And Jesus Christ, and you're going to find all that in the Gospels. And so start by reading the Gospels. They'll help build your faith in the Savior whom you've just trusted. And those of you that have been in Christ a long time, and I know you're studying all these doctrines and principles and everything, I know things develop in your Christian walk. And you want to know a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, and it's all in the Bible. All that God wants us to know is in there. But don't forget to go to back to the Gospel sometimes. As a little child, go back to your Savior. Study about Him. Know the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hear preaching. Hear teaching from the Word of God. Go to church. Sometimes the preacher or the teacher may have learned things, and he's down the road a little bit farther ahead than you are in his walk with Christ. And sometimes ladies have ladies' classes, and there's elder ladies in the church who are down the road a little farther than you are in your walk with Christ, and they can teach you things that they have learned from the Bible as they study and prepare lessons and Sunday school classes and children's churches, kids' clubs. Get your kids in those clubs and get them involved, and grandkids. They're going to be way ahead. You see, I don't know if we can count on the government in the future. I don't know if we can count on Social Security or Medicare in the future, or even your pension. I hope that the bottom doesn't fall out of this country. But I foresee a day when we're all going to need more faith in an almighty God as things get more and more difficult. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's very important that you become a good steward of God's Word in your life. You see, God spent 1,500 years on this project. That's a lot of time. And He used 40 different authors on 3 different continents, writing in 3 different languages. In about 1,500 years, all those authors. And then God put it all together. And then for us, with the King James Bible, He spent another 1,500 years bringing about the English version. Through 6 previous versions that were based upon the right texts. And He said that He would purify His Word 7 times and give it to us. And we now have it. So what I'm saying is that this King James Bible I'm holding in my hands is a project God worked on for 3,000 years. Now, you can't just ignore that. You can't ignore that. He made all creation in 6 days. Which is longer, 6 days or 3,000 years? And that's why Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, creation, but my word shall not pass away. I mean, when I study this, I'm studying the only book that's not going to pass away. Right there. And the same with you. Be a good steward of the Bible. Listen, if you're here today and say, but Pastor, my life's just so busy. There is something in your life that is out of proper priority. Something is not right. Plan on reading the Bible through once a year. And that's just an opinion I want to give you, but just so once a year you can be familiar with the whole thing. And a lot of it is hard plowing. A lot of it is hard reading. To be honest with you, there's stuff in here I read. And I've been reading this for over 40 years. There's still stuff where I just shut the book at the end of the day and say, I don't know what that meant at all. I have no idea. Some of the geography, you know, it talks about judgment on Duma and all these other things. What does that mean? But it's the stuff you do understand that'll help you. And it's been my experience. It's stuff I read 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and at times I thought, what does this have to do with anything? But all of a sudden there comes a day where it has to do with everything. When God's ready to show you. See, the Bible's like this big connect the dots book. It really is. You ever have those connect the dots when you were kids and you were wondering what picture it's going to make when you connected all the dots? And that's how the Bible is. There's something over in this book and that connects to this book and then connects to this book and it connects to, and by the time it's all over, you see the Lord. What a picture. It's amazing. You see Him on every page of the Word of God. But you got to get started. And then there's coming times and trials and temptations and testings in your life where you're going to be reading something today. And you're going to say, I don't think that had to do with anything. And all of a sudden, 10 years from now, you're going to be in some trial. And God's going to say, remember that. Remember that man you read about. Remember that woman you read about and what she went through and what he went through. Remember what they did. Now it's time for you to apply that to your own life. Now, you can read the Bible through. Just an average reader can read the Bible through from cover to cover by spending 20 minutes a day in the Bible. Just 20 minutes a day. Now, again, I say, if you can't find 20 minutes for a book that important, there is something in your life right now. It might be even something very good. But if good things often become the enemy of the best. And you're going to have to just change some things. It might be all that television watching and sports and everything. I don't know what it is, but you need to read the Bible through and become familiar with the whole counsel of God over and over and over again. Some of us read it through a couple times a year. Some in this church read it through 3 times a year. It takes about an hour a day. And we had a guy here in May who's read it through 300 times. And he wrote a commentary. His commentary books are about this thick. I got them. I read them. Tremendous stuff, insights. But that didn't just happen. He paid a tremendous price. I want to encourage you to write notes in your Bible. Write notes in your Bible. That's number six. I'm almost done. Write notes in your Bible. There's nobody in this room who has a photographic memory. And if you think you do, you're proud. And you're hopeless, really. Proud people are hopeless. They've stopped learning a long time ago. They just don't know it. Don't tell them. But proud people have not learned anything in a long time. They don't get anything from Pastor Cole. They don't get anything from church. They don't get anything from... They know it all. Just feel sorry for them. Proud people never improve. Only the humble improve. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You just come like a little child with your mouth open. Every time you read the Bible, and God is going to feed you. George Mueller's favorite verse was in the Psalms where God said, open thy mouth wide and I will feed it. And he'll feed your soul every day. There's not a person that's ever come close to scratching the surface of what is contained in the Word of God. This inexhaustible, infinite book that we have. Write notes. Write notes. Wear out your Bible. There's usually room in the sides and in the top and everything. You can write notes and insights and maybe verses and say, hey, this verse is like this verse back here in this Bible. And I think I'll write that down. And oh, I can't tell you how many times I have Bibles like that that just got notes everywhere. And I'll read them and I'll say, oh, yeah, I remember when God showed that to me 20 years ago. But if I hadn't written it down, I wouldn't have been able to remind myself. I write things down in my Bible. Every time I hear Ben Shutt preaching out there, I'm saying, yeah, that's good, man. I never thought of that right there. Here's his little outline on this story right here. And I got me a little outline that helps me understand the story. I hope you're doing that too. Write notes. There's an old saying, if your Bible's falling apart, you probably ain't. Amen. Amen. See how many Bibles you can wear out before your life's over. Most important, and I close with this, number seven, be saved and know the Holy Spirit. Turn in closing to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. I want to show you the greatest secret. And by the way, this sermon is by no means even a start. I hope it'll just whet your appetite. There's so much to Bible study and Bible reading. I haven't come close. But here's the main thing. This is the main thing, okay? It's the main thing I'm saying this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The only way you can understand the Bible is by the Holy Ghost. That's the most important thing I'm going to say today. You're here today and say, oh, I tried reading the Bible. I couldn't understand it. Okay, try this time with the Holy Spirit's help. He's the author. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wrote every word in this and told those 40 authors, write this down word for word exactly the way I give it to you. And he not only wrote it down, he knows what it means. And he searches what? All things. Even the deeper things of God. Don't leave the church and say the Bible's not for you. It is. If you've never even started, I promise you that if you'll be saved, that is, know Jesus Christ as your Savior, have God come into your life through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you get saved and trust Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of your body. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you have a built-in teacher who can teach you all things, whatever the Scripture says. Later on, it says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God blesses hard work. The Holy Spirit will bless the man or the woman who compares spiritual things with spiritual things, who connects the dots. And He will show you things. And He is such a good teacher that the beloved Apostle John one time said this in 1 John 2:20, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you," that's the Holy Ghost, "and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you, and it is possible to be a Bible student and to be able to have God teach you something every day of your life. And by the end of your life, you won't come close to knowing it all. Not even close. Not even close. Sometimes in pride, you think you get there. And then you go hear a preacher and you're like, "I never thought of that in my life." He has ways of humbling us, doesn't He? Get a Bible. Get a King James Bible. Get a red letter edition of the Bible. Start reading the Gospels. Plan on reading the Bible through once a year. I'm going to have a Bible reading schedule for you in next Sunday's bulletin. Don't wait till January 1st. Start November 1st. And you can follow that along. You can do it in 20 minutes. Write notes in your Bible. Underline things. Highlight things. The most important, be sure you're saved. Because I quoted earlier about Timothy, where Paul said to Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to" what? "Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." You know, the main message of this book is how you can be saved. How you can have eternal life. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." 1 John 5:13, that's the main message. God says, "I love the human race so much, I want to give you a book in writing that tells you how you can be saved, have eternal life, and go to heaven when you die." Are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes now for a word of prayer. Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. You say, "I don't know for sure if I have eternal life." Then why not believe? Jesus did all the hard work for us. He died in our place for our sins on a cross at Calvary. He was crucified. He suffered and died for our sins. He shed His blood to wash them all away. And then He was buried in a tomb. And He did rise from the grave 3 days and three nights later. All the rest of us are going to stay dead. There's something very unique, something very special about Christ's resurrection. And you know what it was? It says He rose for our justification. The payment for your sins has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. You don't have to pay for them. But you have to accept Christ as your Savior, because He does not barge His way into anybody's life. You must open the door of your heart as He knocks today and wants to be your Savior. If you'll open the door of your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, come in. I believe in You," He'll do that. So make that your prayer right now, wherever you're sitting. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, can He save you? He can save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. No matter if you're a good sinner or a bad sinner, Jesus can save you. Come to Him just as you are. Don't put it off. Right now, right where you're sitting, just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I believe in You. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Shed Your blood to wash them all away. I can't save myself. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Save me, I pray today. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen. We want to take our hymn books now and turn to page 515, Near the Cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And as we stand together and sing, if you need to come and pray, pray for someone else, whatever, you come to the altar and pray. If you need to be saved, come and stand down here. Someone will join you and show you how you can be saved. As we prepare for baptism, let's sing page 515. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. As we sing the second, Pastor Seth's going to come lead the invitation as we prepare for baptism on the second. Near the
chorus a cappella with no instruments. Here we go on the four.
Near the cross, a watch and wait. Oh, be trusting ever till I reach the golden strand. Just beyond.
Julio, Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
But by faith in Him, have you received before this time Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. But upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of God, raised to walk in the newness of life, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this Lord's Day. Thank you for our freedom to meet together. We thank you for Julio's faith in Christ and Lord, for his interest now in the Bible. And just help him, help us all. Lord, every one of us, maybe we got to restart today. Being good stewards of the word of the Lord. Help the young people, the young adults, the children. Somebody has got to know the Bible for their generation when some of us pass on. They got to know where to go. They got to know where the scriptures are and truths are to direct people. And somebody has to pay the price, Lord, in every generation to understand the word of the Lord. Father, help us to fight this famine of the Word of God in our land. And Lord, I pray you'd restart many today and some that would start for the first time opening up a Bible. And we pray for thy Holy Spirit to speak and teach every one of us of all ages yet more and more about thee. And now, Lord, we pray for your blessing on tonight's service at 6 o'clock on Wednesday and Fall Festival, the youth rally this week, busy week. We lift it up to thee and pray you'd use it. And Lord, now dismiss us with thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming today.